Pull up FlightAware on your phone right now, while you're sitting at the FBO waiting for the fuel truck. Find any aircraft in the air. Watch its track. That smooth position plot moving across the map did not come entirely from FAA infrastructure. A significant portion of it was assembled by a network of volunteers, people who mounted a small antenna on their roof, plugged in a $20 radio dongle, and started feeding aircraft positions to a central server. I'm Vector on Clear Direct, here on Radio Hangar, and today I want to get into the technology behind those flight tracking maps. Specifically, I want to talk about multilateration, what the industry calls MLAT, and the independent receiver networks that built the global coverage those websites actually deliver, because the Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast System, ADS-B, alone doesn't get you there. And the gap between what the FAA's ground station network sees and what FlightAware shows you is more interesting than most pilots realize. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for real milestones, first solo, private pilot, instrument rating, CFI, the whole path beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the infrastructure reality. The FAA's ADS-B ground station network was built through the Next Gen Modernization Program, with completion timed to align with the 2020 ADS-B out mandate. The network covers the continental United States with roughly 700 certified stations. For high altitude instrument flight, coverage is generally solid, but ADS-B signals travel line of sight exactly like any other radio transmission. The signal goes straight. The Earth curves, and below roughly 10,000 feet across significant portions of the country, especially in the American West, in mountain valleys, in the terrain between major radar coverage footprints, that line of sight fails. Your aircraft is transmitting on 1090 megahertz, approximately twice every second. The FAA ground stations may not be hearing it. This is documented in the FAA's own coverage data. It is not a design flaw so much as a physics limitation of any ground-based radio network. The independent consumer tracking networks were built in large part to address exactly this gap. FlightAware launched in 2005, originally out of Houston, as a tool for tracking domestic flight delays and arrivals. FlightRadar 24 started a year later. In 2006, the project of two aviation enthusiasts and enthusiasts in Sweden who set up a receiver to track aircraft near Stockholm. What both services quickly realized is that real-time flight tracking required real-time position data, and real-time position data required physical receivers distributed across geography. The ADS-B infrastructure that would later come to exist didn't exist then in any usable form, so they built their own, one volunteer at a time. Both networks created feeder programs. Volunteers could set up a receiver, connect it to the internet, and feed position data to the central servers. In exchange, they received free or premium access to the tracking services. The incentives worked, and the networks grew slowly through the first decade of their existence. Then the hardware barrier collapsed. In 2012 and 2013, a cheap USB dongle originally designed for receiving digital television, available at electronics stores for around $20, turned out to contain a radio receiver chip that could be reprogrammed for much broader frequency coverage. These became known as RTL-SDR devices, named after the chip family inside. With one of these dongles, a simple outdoor antenna, and a Raspberry Pi or any spare laptop, anyone could set up a functioning ADS-B receiver. The cost of entry dropped to essentially nothing. Feeder network growth accelerated sharply after that inflection point. Today, FlightRadar 24 describes their network as having more than 30,000 active receivers across more than 150 countries. FlightAware has comparable global reach, ADS-B Exchange, the community-operated network that runs on an open data, no-filter principle, maintains its own independent volunteer infrastructure. These are not small operations. They represent one of the larger distributed data collection networks in consumer technology, assembled entirely through voluntary participation by aviation enthusiasts who wanted to watch airplanes. When three or more of these receivers can see the same aircraft at the same time, the network can compute position through multilateration. Let me give you the actual engineering here, because it's worth understanding. Your aircraft, even one with a standard Mode C or Mode S transponder and no ADS-B out at all, broadcasts radio signals. Transponders respond to secondary radar interrogations, but Mode S transponders also emit what are called squitter messages, short, spontaneous transmissions that go out on their own, periodically whether or not any radar is interrogating. Short squitters carry your MODS address, sometimes barometric altitude. Extended squitters, the ones used by ADS-B out, carry a full position report. But even a basic MODS transponder without ADS-B out capability is emitting short squitters regularly. It cannot help itself. That's how MODS was designed. Every receiver in the volunteer network runs a precisely synchronized clock. Most use GPS timing, which achieves synchronization accuracy down to tens of nanoseconds across stations that might be hundreds of miles apart. When your transponder emits a squitter, that signal travels outward at the speed of light and arrives at each receiver at a slightly different time. Receiver 1, the closer station, logs its arrival timestamp a fraction of a microsecond before receiver 2. Receiver 3 logs its own timestamp. The central server collects those timestamps and solves a geometric problem. What single point in three-dimensional space would produce exactly these differences in signal arrival time? The mathematics here are called time difference of arrival, abbreviated TDOA. With three receivers, you get a general position fix. With four, five, or six receivers all detecting the same transmission, the geometry improves and the position estimate tightens considerably. More receivers, cleaner result. This is multilateration. It works on any aircraft with a functioning broadcasting transponder, regardless of whether that aircraft has ADS-B out. The transponder just has to be on and transmitting. Now the limitations, because there are significant ones, and they matter for how you interpret what you see.
Accuracy first.
ADS-B out reports a GPS-derived position accurate to roughly 10 to 20 meters in normal operation. Multilateration accuracy depends entirely on receiver geometry. With favorable geometry, meaning well-distributed receivers with your aircraft positioned well inside the coverage area, you might get position estimates accurate to around 30 to 50 meters under good conditions. With poor geometry, meaning you're at the edge of coverage with only three receivers barely in range, the error ellipse can grow to hundreds of meters. For a flight tracking website, that's fine. For air traffic control separation standards, it is not. This is one reason the FAA does not use third-party multilateration as a primary surveillance source. ATC uses its own certified radar infrastructure and the certified ADS-B ground station network. Consumer multilateration is a different tool for different purposes. Update rate, second. ADS-B outfires at approximately 2 position reports per second, which produces a smooth, dense track. Multilateration update rates vary with how often the transponder happens to be emitting at any given moment. When a secondary radar site is actively interrogating in the area, MODS transponders emit more frequently and multilateration networks get more data to work with. In quiet remote airspace with no active radar interrogation nearby, squitter emissions thin out and update rates drop. The track on the website looks like scattered dots rather than a continuous line. You'll notice the difference if you ever compare a flight through a busy terminal area to one across rural Nevada. Low altitude, third. Line of sight physics apply to volunteer receivers exactly as they apply to FAA ground stations. Flying at 1,000 feet over rolling terrain in Wyoming, the probability that three or more volunteer stations have unobstructed radio line of sight to your aircraft is not high. Coverage maps for the volunteer network show genuine thin spots below about 4,000 feet in mountainous and rural regions. The overall network size can be misleading on this point. 30,000 receivers sounds comprehensive. At low altitude in the Mountain West, coverage can still be sparse. And then there are aircraft these networks simply cannot see. Military aircraft operating with transponders off or on restricted codes. Ultralights and some experimental aircraft legally operating without transponders in uncontrolled airspace below the Mode C veil. Any aircraft where the transponder is off or squawking standby. The picture these networks produce is a picture of civil aviation with broadcasting transponders. The full population of airborne objects is always larger than what any ground-based system sees. Here's what most people miss about what happens with this data once it's aggregated and processed. The airlines use it. Commercial aviation operation centers subscribe to FlightAware services for supplemental fleet tracking data. The commercial networks often provide broader coverage and faster data feeds for operational use cases than official channels alone. Aircraft leasing companies track their assets. Maintenance organizations monitor ferry flights. Ground handlers use arrival estimates from consumer tracking to position equipment. The safety and research community relies on it too. Wake turbulence researchers correlate actual aircraft positions with reported encounters. Aviation safety investigators have used consumer tracking data to help reconstruct portions of accident sequences in cases where official radar data was limited or unavailable. The National Transportation Safety Board has referenced consumer tracking records in accident investigations. This data has real analytical value. I want to spend a moment on ADS-B exchange specifically because its position in this ecosystem is something pilots should understand. The major commercial tracking services have historically been willing to honor requests from aircraft operators to suppress position display for specific registrations. An operator who wants their movements kept private can request to be hidden from FlightAware or Flight Radar 24. ADS-B Exchange took a different position. Their stated policy is to display any aircraft their receiver network detects without filtering based on requests from operators or owners. Their reasoning is that the signal is being broadcast publicly on unlicensed spectrum, and a public radio transmission in public airspace is, in their view, public information. This created a practical discovery for operators who thought they had achieved tracking privacy through the major services. If their transponder was transmitting, ADS-B Exchange was showing the position. The belief that opting out of FlightAware made you invisible turned out to be incorrect for anyone who knew where to look. This dynamic drove significant interest in the privacy ICAO address system, where aircraft cycle through randomized transponder addresses that can't be linked to a registration. But the underlying point here is about physics. The signal leaves the aircraft. Where it goes after that is determined by who is listening and what they do with it. Now, let me talk about TISB, because it completes this picture and it often gets misunderstood. If you have ADS-B and capability in your cockpit, your radio is receiving two kinds of data from the FAA ground station network. The first is FISB, the Flight Information Service Broadcast, which delivers weather products including next-generation radar imagery, aviation weather reports, forecasts, temporary flight restrictions, and notices to air missions. The second is TISB, the Traffic Information Service Broadcast. TISB is where the FAA synthesizes the surrounding traffic picture and sends it down to you specifically, based on knowing where you are. Here's what TISB actually does. The FAA ground station knows your position from your ADS-B out transmission. It constructs a traffic picture of every aircraft it can see within a certain radius of your aircraft, combining ADS-B equipped targets with aircraft being tracked by secondary surveillance radar. An aircraft that doesn't have ADS-B out but is being painted by radar shows up in your TISB feed as an estimated position. It appears on your traffic display, often with lower update rates and somewhat less precision than a direct ADS-B target, but it appears your cockpit display is showing you a composite picture assembled from multiple data sources synthesized by the FAA ground station infrastructure. This is different from what the consumer tracking networks are doing, but the problem they're solving is similar. TISB uses certified FAA radar and ADS-B ground station data. FlightAware and Flight Radar 24 use independent infrastructure and multilateration. Both approaches are attempts to answer the same question: how do you build the most complete possible traffic picture given the limitations of any single sensor type? Neither approach alone gets you there. The full surveillance picture, the one that actually describes what's flying, is assembled from multiple overlapping technologies with different strengths and different coverage footprints. What does all of this mean for you as a pilot? At cruise altitude in high-density airspace, you are visible to multiple overlapping systems simultaneously. FAA secondary radar, FAA ADS-B ground stations, commercial receiver networks computing your position through multilateration, and the TISB picture being uplinked to equipped aircraft nearby. The surveillance density at altitude in busy airspace is high and redundant. Multiple independent systems have you in their picture, and those pictures largely agree. At low altitude and remote terrain, that density thins quickly. Radar has geographic limits. ADS-B ground station geometry may leave gaps. Volunteer receiver coverage below 4,000 feet in the Mountain West is real but thinner than the overall network numbers suggest. In those environments, your see and avoid responsibility is doing actual work, not as a regulatory formality written into the federal aviation regulations, but because the systems that normally build the traffic picture are less complete and the picture they're handing your cockpit display is less trustworthy. The volunteer network's 30,000 consumer antennas on rooftops and in garages across more than 150 countries built something that no government program funded and no airline commissioned. It's not certified safety infrastructure. It has no regulatory status. But it is watching, It is detailed, and it is increasingly integrated into how aviation actually operates. That's worth understanding the next time you look at a flight track and wonder exactly how that picture got assembled. Sources for this segment include technical documentation from FlightRadar 24, FlightAware, the ADS-B Exchange Project, and the FAA's Next Gen Program Materials. RadioHangar.com for more. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct. Keep the transponder on.